Lawrence did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across east of England as you listen. This is their story. In St Neots and mid-Cambridgeshire, newly qualified nurses cannot find funded positions on hospital wards that are visibly understaffed. Training centres stand empty while people who want to work in healthcare are told there is no money for their development. The buildings exist, the people exist, but the connection between them has been severed.
I became a nurse because I watched my mum fight cancer when I was 15. She spent weeks at Hinchinbrook Hospital, and I saw how the nurses held our family together as much as they held her body together. They knew when to push the doctors for better pain relief, when to sit with her during the 3 a.m. panic attacks, when to make my dad laugh so he would stop pacing the corridor. I wanted to be that person for other families. After school, I worked as a healthcare assistant at Hinchinbrook for 3 years, saving every penny for university while learning the rhythms of ward life. I completed my nursing degree at Anglia Ruskin in 2023. The day I graduated, I felt like I was finally ready to give back what those nurses had given us. In September 2023, I applied for a Band 5 nursing position at Cambridge University Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust. I'd visited Addenbrookes during my placement year and seen the wards myself. Every shift was short-staffed. Nurses were covering twice their usual patient load. Agency staff were being called in at premium rates to fill gaps that permanent staff could not cover. The need was visible, urgent, and constant. The response came back in 3 weeks. There were no funded positions available. The letter was polite but firm. Budget constraints meant that recruitment was suspended indefinitely, despite acknowledged staffing pressures across all departments. I tried Cambridgeshire Community Services NHS Trust in October. Same story. The HR manager was apologetic but clear. There is no funding for new permanent posts. We would love to have you, but the budget has been cut. She sounded like she had given this explanation many times before. I accepted it. It sounded reasonable. Everyone accepts it when they are told there is no money. I decided to apply for specialist training places instead. Health education. England, east of England, was running programmes in critical care and emergency medicine. I applied in January 2024, thinking that if I could not get a basic nursing position, perhaps I could train for a specialty area where the need was even more acute. The response came in February. Training budgets had been capped by Treasury spending limits. The places I was applying for existed on paper, but could not be filled because the funding allocation had been frozen. I was told that, despite acknowledged vacancy rates across the region, no additional training cohorts could be commissioned. I contacted NHS England's workforce team directly. I explained that I was a qualified nurse, ready to work, in a region with documented staff shortages. The response was the same. Training budgets were frozen. They acknowledged the vacancy rates, but said their hands were tied by spending constraints imposed by HM Treasury. In March, I decided to visit the training centre at Addenbrookes, where my friend Nina had completed her placement the year before. I wanted to see for myself what a budget cut looked like. What I found did not match the explanation I had been given. The training centre was fully equipped, but completely empty. 20 computer terminals were gathering dust. Simulation labs had state-of-the-art equipment sitting unused. There were mannequins for practicing procedures, monitors for learning vital signs, even a mock operating theatre that looked like it had never been switched on. A notice board still advertised training cohorts that never started. January 2024, critical care cohort, and March 2024, emergency medicine programme, with application deadlines that had passed months ago. I stood in that empty room and started to wonder. The people existed. I was one of them, and I knew dozens of others who wanted these positions. The building existed, the equipment existed, the patients who needed us existed. What exactly was it that there was no money for? I started to see the contradiction everywhere. The agency nurses, earning double what permanent staff made, the overtime payments to existing nurses who were burning out from covering unfilled shifts. the expensive locum consultants brought in to cover training positions that could have been filled by people like me. If there was no money for training, where was all this other money coming from? The government that issues the pound told me it could not find enough pounds to connect qualified nurses to hospital wards that needed them. But pounds are not a natural resource that gets depleted. They are numbers in computer systems, created when the government spends them into existence. The Bank of England creates them with keystrokes. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. When HM Treasury capped the training budgets, they were not responding to a shortage of pounds. They were making a political decision about priorities. When NHS England froze recruitment, they were not constrained by the availability of currency. They were following instructions from a government that had decided not to spend money connecting people to work, even when both the people and the work were standing right there. I am still here. I am still watching. I work agency shifts now, at higher cost to the system than a permanent position would be, covering the gaps that the budget constraints created. I see the same pattern in every department. The resources exist, the needs exist, but someone in Westminster has decided that connecting them is unaffordable. This is not just my story. It is the story of every constituency where people want to work and places need workers, while someone with a Treasury briefing note says the cupboard is bare. The cupboard was never bare. It was locked.
What Lawrence experienced has a name: fake experts. This technique uses the authority of supposed experts to make false claims sound credible. Think of tobacco companies in the 1950s citing independent doctors who claimed smoking was harmless when those doctors were paid by cigarette manufacturers. The real medical consensus was already clear, but fake experts muddied the waters. In Lawrence's case, every institution cited economists to justify the funding caps. Economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation, they were told. But which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say without naming them is an appeal to unnamed authority. The household budget myth persists because fake experts keep repeating it. Think tanks funded by austerity advocates publish papers treating government budgets like household budgets. Television economists who never mention that governments issue their own currency. Academic departments that teach public finance as though the Treasury must save up pounds before spending them. But the UK government creates pounds when it spends them. The real constraint is resources. Do the nurses exist? Do the training facilities exist? Do the hospitals need them? In Lawrence's story, all three answers were yes. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. St Neots and Mid-Cambridgeshire ranks 509 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, published by MHCLG. The constituency has 2,610 registered charities according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. Total grants received amount to £15.9 million, according to 360 Giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics, produced by Blocked Britain.